At this time, I would like to introduce our first speaker, Rick S.
Hi, my name's Rick, and I'm an addict. Can everybody hear me? Can everybody hear me? Right on. I'm grateful to be in a meeting with Narcotics Anonymous, and I'm grateful to be here today. I want to do two things real quick. The first thing I want to do is thank the committee for allowing me, giving me the opportunity to come up here and share my recovery with you guys. The second thing I'd like to do is to get this out in the open. I know Dino Days is for addicts with 20 years or more. This has been bugging the shit out of me, guys, right? So anyway, I've got 19 years, 354 days clean, right? That's right. I'm 11 days shy of 20 years. See, I just had to get that out of the way because my disease tells me I'm something I'm not. See, that's where it starts. That's where it starts for me. But anyway, saying that, I can get started. You know, my name's Rick, and I'm an addict, and I'm grateful to be here. My story isn't much different than just about anybody else's. I got here out of desperation. I started at a young age, you know, and I was a liar, a thief, and a cheat. And when I started doing drugs, I just got better at those things. You know, I can qualify myself by saying I hurt everybody I was ever in contact with. You know, I stole from my parents, I stole from my siblings, my friends, people I didn't know. I think that my disease, my addiction affected everybody I ever came in contact with. You know, I did all those things that we do. I went down most of those roads that we go down, and I did all those things, man. And drugs were the most important thing, you know. Who I was just like the reading says, my life was centered in drugs in one form or the other. You know, it was all about the getting and using and finding ways and means to get more. I lived to use, and I lived to use and used to live, man. That reading is me to a T. You know what I'm saying? And along the way, it affected everybody I loved. For instance, there was a time, the late 80s, early 90s, I was smoking like way too much cocaine, right? And I had showed up to work. I had a really good job, and I showed up to work an hour and 4 days late. Again, right? It wasn't the first time, right? An hour and 4 days late, man. And the deal was, I didn't have any more excuses, you know. I had run out of lies. I've been working for this guy for a long time, you know. And I had just run out of excuses. I didn't have any more lies, and so I told him, you know, I told him, I said, I got a problem with alcohol and cocaine, and they I did it so I could keep my job, right? Let's get that straight. You know, my motives was all fucked up. I lied to him. You know, I told him the truth because I had nothing else to tell him, and that was my first shot at recovery. Him and his wife had a child that went through the same thing. And so they hooked me up with a meeting, you know, and I can't remember if it was in AA or anything. You know, I don't know what it was, but it was a meeting. And I went to that the next night, and I got to keep my job, right? So I went there, and I went to a meeting, and it was in a little room, you know. It was dark, and I think people were even smoking in there, right? Back when you could smoke in a fucking meeting. Anyways, and you know, and they read the readings and this and that, and I walked away from that meeting thinking I was cured, you know. So I didn't smoke cocaine for like 42 days, man. I was freaking cured, man. Life was good. I kept my job, and so life was really good. So it just continued. I went back to doing the same thing I was doing, and eventually I lost that job, along with some other ones, and that was okay. That was okay. I just found another job. I just found someone else, you know, and so that's how it went for me. That's how life was until in 1999. The Porterville Police Department, Porterville PD, the Tulare County Sheriff's, and some kind of drug enforcement, task enforcement, something came into our home and found a bunch of product, and they took us to jail. And that's how I got here to Narcotics Anonymous. It was through the court program. You know, I was married to someone else at the time. We went to jail, we got out, and things continued. And the following month, we went to court, and that's how I came to Narcotics Anonymous, man, was through the court system. You know, I didn't want to go to prison. They offered me so much prison time, I didn't want to do that, and they gave me an option to do this. And it was a recovery program, and I thought, well, I can do that, and I'll get loaded. And so, it was a win-win situation for me, and that's what I thought, and so that's what I did. And so my first meeting with Narcotics Anonymous, man, it was a quiet little church out on the south side of town in Porterville, from the Foothill area. That's where I'm originally from. And I went to that meeting, I sat in the back in the dark, and I didn't say shit, you know, because I wasn't like you guys, man. I didn't want nothing to do with you. I looked for all the differences, man. I didn't feel like I fit in, you know. Even there, I didn't fit in. That was my first meeting in Narcotics Anonymous. You know, and I was mandatory to go to meetings all the time, and that's what I did. And so I fought it for a long time, you know, and finally I heard something in the meeting. You know, this guy stood up and he said, you know, you only need to change one thing. And that, I thought, well, fuck, this is it, man. This is what I want to hear, that one thing. And he goes, you need to change everything. And I sat back down and thought, all right, I know they're full of shit now. And so that's how it went for me, you know, for a while. And by the time I was in an 18-month program, and it took me 18 months to complete that program, okay? And by the time I got out of that program, I had found something in Narcotics Anonymous. You see, I heard the message of hope in one of the meetings one night. You know, and so it says in our literature, the only, what's it say? It's fucking drawing a blank. But anyway, the only requirement for membership is a desire to stay clean. And so within that 18 months, that's what I had found. And so when I got out of that quarter pointed program, I continued to go to meetings. You know, you guys told me to keep coming back. You know, you don't have to use no matter what. You know, and within that time, you know, through that process, you know, I was taught how to be of service in Narcotics Anonymous. You know what I'm saying? My first service position was, it was picking up cigarette butts for a meeting, right? So that's what I got to do, you know. And I stood out there and looked at everybody smoking. I thought, yeah, go ahead, just throw one down, motherfucker. I'm going to get you, right? So I took everything to extremes, right? That was my first service position, you know, for that Friday night meeting that I went to, my first meeting. And then I got to make the coffee for that meeting, you know, and I was going to make the best coffee ever, right? Rick, it's Steve Strong. Rick, it's Steve fucking Weed, man. Get your shit together. That's how it went for me, right? You know, and I ended up being the secretary of that meeting at one point, the treasurer at one point, you know, and I was a GSR at one point. So the first couple years, you know, we as a group, we learned how to be of service in Narcotics Anonymous. That's what I found here. Together we learned how to be of service in Narcotics Anonymous. You know, together we learned how to live life on life's terms one day at a time, you know, and together we learned a little bit about honesty, open-mindedness, and willingness, you know, the how-to of this program. You know, that's what I found in Narcotics Anonymous in the first couple of years I was here. And as time went on, my life got better because of the things I was doing in Narcotics Anonymous. And so, 3-4 years clean, I had found a sponsor. I started working some steps, and about 4 years clean, I was bitching to my sponsor. You know, I don't make enough money. You know, this guy didn't pay me for shit. You know, I've worked here for so long. And, you know, he told me, well, stop your crying and do something about it, you know. And so I did. You know, I here in Narcotics Anonymous, I learned how to set some goals and boundaries. And so I made a goal that I was going to go and try and get my contractor's license. And for the next 16 months, I jumped through hoops for the state of California to get a contractor's license, a C-33 painting and decorating. You know, and I submitted my application after all this stuff, after the schools, the money, all this stuff, and they denied me because of my criminal background. You know, and I went to my sponsor, I said, look at this. And he goes, well, fuck, what, man? Do the next, you know, indicated thing. Do the next right thing. And so what I had to do is I had to go to an arbitration hearing in Sacramento and plead my case to a panel of people sitting at a table, much like those white ones right there. And there was three people there, and they asked me a bunch of questions. And I straight up told them, I said, the person that's in that folder that you're looking at is not the person that you're seeing today. You know, this was about a year and a half after I started this. So for about 5 years clean, 5.5 years clean, I walked in there and I told them that person right there in that folder is not the person you see today. You know, I've taken lengths to change my life, you know. And so they gave me a contractor's license, you know, the state of California on a probationary period. And so that's how that happened for me. That was a direct result of Narcotics Anonymous working in my life. You know, because I couldn't do that when I was getting loaded, man. I didn't have the want to try. But, you know, here in Narcotics Anonymous, man, with the 12 steps, you know, I just applied some of those spiritual principles to the problems I was having, and I came up with some solutions, and I was able to walk through that stuff, man, and just keep walking through it, you know, until I succeeded, you know. And so that's how it was for me, and my life changed from there, right? I went from making so much money a week to starting my own business, partnering up with another guy, and together we did we had a really good business going, and I went from getting paid on a weekly basis to having to make payroll on a weekly basis, all within 3 weeks, and it all worked out because I had the capital. I'd been saving and working for a couple years, and it all worked out, man. I put my faith in the fellowship. I put my faith in my higher power, and I just walked through it, man, and it happened. You know, and my life changed. You know, and I want to sit here and tell you that life was great and it got really, really good and everything just fell into place after that. But I can't say that because sometimes life has a way of showing up and sometimes biting you in the ass. You know, and that's it's kind of what happened to me. You know, I continue to go to meetings. I continue to talk to my sponsor. I continue to work steps to be of service in Narcotics Anonymous whenever I could. I kept doing the deal, right? And so I, you know, my business was taking off and everything was good. The kids were in high school and everything was real busy. And my significant other was struggling with staying clean, you know, and it got to the point to where she had some mental health issues going on, and she got onto some medication, and so about 7 years, when I was 7 years clean, we started going through this in my personal life that, it's one of the hardest things I ever had to do, you know, and it went on and on for a while, and I continued to go to meetings, you know, and I continued to talk to my sponsor, and I did the right things for the right reasons, you know, I took care of the kids, and I did all this stuff, and my significant other didn't, you know, and in a world that's always changing, you know, and if you're not changing with it, you're getting left behind, and that's what happened, you know, God, I was eight years clean, man, and this was happening to me, and I could remember, by this time I'd changed sponsors, you know, and by this time I was working steps with my new sponsor, and I went to him, and I told him, you know, why me? Why this? Why now? You know, I remember telling him, look, man, I've done everything. I pray, man, I meditate, I go to meetings, I work the steps, I have a sponsor, I do everything that Narcotics Anonymous asks of me, man, and I, you know, why am I going through this, you know, and it reminded me, man, you gotta take a look at that first step, man, you're powerless, you know, and he goes, look at yourself, man, you're still clean, right? I said, yeah, and he goes, that's the only promise Narcotics Anonymous has. So if you do the work, you get to stay clean. You know, and I learned a lesson there, man. No matter how hard I tried, you know, I couldn't keep her clean. No matter how hard I tried, I couldn't keep them clean. You know. So at that time in my life, man, it was real scary for me because I didn't know what was going to happen. I didn't know where I was going to go. All the fear set in. You know, and it came down to. One day, she was all of her behaviors changed, man. And she, I said, "What's the deal?" And she said, "My doctor's changed my medication." I said, "Well, that's cool, man. This is a good." And then she started coming home later and later, and then she stopped coming home at all. And then I figured it out, and that's what happened to me at 9 years clean. After getting high together, getting clean together, raising kids together, and living together for 16 years, we can no longer be together. And at that point, that was one of the hardest things I ever had to do. Clean. You know. And I took that to the meeting, and you guys just told me, man, just keep coming back, Rick. You know, no matter what, you don't have to use. You know, pain shared is pain lessened. And that's what I did, man. I went to my sponsor and I told him about this. And he goes, you're powerless over that. You know, and so that's what happened. That's where I was at 9 years clean in my life. I didn't know how to be single. You know, I'd been I'd been dad for so long. You know, I'd been in one relationship after another. I just didn't know. And so I told my sponsor, I said, man, it's just, I have to do something new, you know, I have to go somewhere else. And well, I said, I have to make a change. And he suggested go to a meeting outside of our area. And so at 9 years clean, that's what I started to do. I ended up coming over here to Tulare and Visalia. I went to Bakersfield a lot. But I started coming over here to a men's meeting, Jimmy Kay. And started meeting some people over here, and that's where I found my core group. Over here. And so that's what I did, man. I kept coming to meetings over here, and I kept staying clean one day at a time, man. And you guys, I told you guys about what was happening in my life, and you told me just keep coming back, and it would get better eventually. And so at 10 years clean, I was a single man in recovery. And boy, was that freaking different, right? Remember I told you I didn't know how to be single? Well, it all came back to me real quick, right? Right? I figured it out, you know, and so at that time I started going to new places. I started meeting new people. I started doing new things, and that's how my life was going. And I continued to come to meetings. I continued to talk to my sponsor. You know, I continued to work the steps. And life just went on, you know. My business was doing great. I was looking to buy a home. You know, and life just kept rolling along, man. And I got to tell you, it was just like my addiction. It was fun. Then it was fun with trouble. Then it was nothing but trouble. And we're talking, I'm 12 years clean, right? Through that whole thing, through that process, I had started to slack off in meetings. I started to slack off in talking to my sponsor, and looking at those steps. And I started going different places, hanging out with those people, going to those places. You know what I'm saying? Doing all the wrong things for all the wrong reasons. So 12 years in recovery, man, I'm at a spot where I couldn't believe, man. I was doing everything but getting loaded, right? You know, I'm that guy that wants to see how close I can get to the flame without getting burnt. Anybody relate to that? I want to see how close I can get without getting burned. And that's what I was doing. And so it came to a point, it came to a time where I was leaving that house at 6 in the morning, and I was over here at 11 o'clock at night, and I was doing that on the weekend, and it came to an end, man. Like I said, I was doing everything but getting loaded. And so one night I found myself laying on my bed in the middle of the night in the dark with running out of options, man. I had nothing else to do, you know. I didn't know where to go. I didn't know where to turn. I didn't know what to do. It had gotten that bad, you know. They say here in recovery, man, there'll come a time when the only thing that stands between you and getting loaded is your higher power, right? Well, I came to that time, right? That was one of the times. And I did the only thing I could do. You know, I called my sponsor. That's what I did. I called my sponsor, you know, and we had a talk, and I got back into working on Rick, is what I did, you know. So at 12 years clean, I started working on Rick again. You know, I stopped going to those places, doing those things, hanging around those people. I got back into being of service with Narcotics Anonymous whenever I could. You know, I started talking to my sponsor on a regular basis. I continued to go to meetings on a regular basis. You know what I'm saying? I went to the functions. You know, I did all the things that we do here in Narcotics Anonymous once again. I was back doing that. You know, because at that time I had no other options, man. I was going to get loaded or something was going to happen. And that's the way it worked for me. I don't know how it is for you guys. That's what happened to me here in Narcotics Anonymous, you know. I reached out for help and you guys were right there. You know, you guys were right there to hold my hand and tell me just keep coming back and it would get better. You know, you keep doing what you're doing and things will get better. And so that's what I did, you know. And so I started working on Rick again, you know. I started doing all the things you guys suggested, you know. And I was, excuse me, I was sitting in a meeting. I was sitting in a meeting in Narcotics Anonymous up in a quiet little church up in the foothills of Wood Lake, a place called Elderwood, right? And I'm sitting there, and a beautiful woman walked in, and I thought, well, you know, I haven't been on a date in a long time because I've been working on me, so I haven't been doing anything else. You know, I've been taking care of my business, working on Rick. I see a beautiful woman. I thought, well, I asked my buddy, I said, who is that? And he goes, she just came out of a bad relationship. Leave her alone. I said, well, wait a minute. So he introduced me to her. And I asked her out and see, you know, I asked her if she wanted to go get some coffee or something. She said no. I said, all right, that's okay. She goes, but what I will do is give you my number and you can text me and maybe we can do that later next week or something. And this was right around her birthday. I mean, she was 2 years clean. And I remember this because the first time I seen her, back when I was being single and shit, I seen her walk into a room. I said, hey, who's that? And they said, leave the newcomers alone, right? So 2 years later, I said, who's that? And they said, oh, she just came out of a bad relationship. I said, you know what, man? Fuck this. I'm going to ask her out. You guys keep telling me no, right? Hey, man, when I get in the driver's seat, I'm always the first one in the scene of the crash. You know what I'm saying? I'm fucking sitting there in the wreckage, man. But I did, you know, and she said no, and that was okay. I was okay with that. And we text back and forth for a while, you know, and then we finally went out and she said she'd go out and have coffee with me, you know, and so I was really cool. I went and I picked her up and, well, everybody knows she loves Starbucks, right? So where do we go? Well, we go to Starbucks, right? Down on Old Main. And we get coffee and everything and we go down the street and we sit on this bench, right? I think it was in front of a bar. I don't know. But it was okay because it was just us. It was like just me and her. And we're sitting there, man, and my phone rings. I'm thinking, what? Who is that? And it rings again. I'm going, damn, I got to take this. Hold on. What's up, man? It was fucking Larry, right? He goes, what are you doing answering the phone, dude? You ain't supposed to do that when you're on a date with a beautiful woman. I said, man, it was you, man. I didn't know what was going on. Right? It was you, man. I had to answer it. It was Larry, right? So he laughed, and we laughed. He was down the street watching me, right? And so we laughed that off, man. We get a kick out of that. And so so that was our first date, right? That's you know, I learned here in Narcotics Anonymous how to take it slow. So as time went on, you know, our relationship grew, you know, and together we continued to go to meetings and work steps and do everything here in Narcotics Anonymous, take the suggestions, you know, and I was still talking with my sponsor. And Caitlin was involved in area here in the Kings Tulare area, and so that kept me connected too. And so for a couple of years I helped her do that, you know. And I remember I told you that I've been looking for a house, you know, because my business was doing really good that side of my life was doing really good there, right? And so I was talking to my realtor one day and he goes, man, I found you a home. And I went and looked at it and I said, yeah, he did, man, that's the one, right? That's the house. I want to be that guy that lives on that street in that house. Right? This is the one. You know, and afterwards, after taking an inventory on that, I had all my motives were all wrong, you know. This was a beautiful home, and it was in Porter Creek Estates. Right? And it was that house on that street. I'm that guy. I wanted to impress a beautiful woman. See? That's why I signed those contracts. I wanted you guys to think, well, hell, he's got his shit together. Look what he's doing. Look where he's living. Look what he's doing. Like I said, my motives were all wrong. You know, so I wanted to be that guy that lived in that house, on that street. And when it came right down to it, my realtor kept calling me and I kept ditching him. Because it came down to they were wanting a whole bunch of money. Right? Money. And I've been working really hard. And to run a business, you have to have capital. And I had the money to do this deal, but I didn't have any other money to make payroll or my rent or this or that, you know. And so what I started thinking was I can rob Peter to pay Paul, you know. My addiction kicked in, you know. My old lifestyle kicked in. So I know how to make money. And I don't even really have to get my hands dirty. You know, again, my motives were all wrong. That went on for about a week until I talked to my friends in the recovery. And they said, hey, man, you can't do it. You just can't do it, man. Numbers don't lie. And if this ain't working out, do the right thing. You know. Once again, Narcotics Anonymous stepped up and taught me, man. It's not the house you're living in. It's how you're living in the house. And so what I did is I listened to those guys. And my sponsor told me there'll be another home, you know, it comes along. And so I, after a week, I called my realtor and I got together with him. And I had to sign a paper to get out of that contract so they could move forward. And I did that. And I took an inventory after that. And what it came down to is I didn't want to admit this to anybody. See, because I wanted to be all that. I wanted to be that guy that lived in that house on that street. See, what it was is I couldn't afford it. And I didn't want to admit that. Because I'd been working so hard for so long. I wanted to prove to myself and everybody else I could do something like that. And I just couldn't afford it at the time. And through an inventory, I found that out. And then I was able to tell you guys and let you guys know about it. You know, because that was killing me for a while too. You know, because I didn't want you to judge me, you know what I'm saying? You know, I told everybody about this big nice house and then I had to tell everybody, you know what? I couldn't afford it. But that's what I learned here in Narcotics Anonymous. That's what I learned here, man. I have to get honest with myself so I can get honest with you guys. You know, with the guidance of a sponsor. And the freedom through the 12 steps that I found, I was able to do that. Right? Because it's always the fear that trips me up. It's always the fear that gets me. Everything that happens is fear-based. You know, it says in our literature, application of spiritual principles in our lives eliminates the fear from our lives. It says that in our literature. You know, and it also says that recovery is an active change of ideas and behaviors. Active being the key word. I got to continue to do this, right? So at 13 years clean, I bought a home. You know, it wasn't that one in Porter Creek Estates, right? I'm over that shit. I bought a beautiful house on a quiet little street, man. And see, my higher power had something in store for me, man. And I didn't know it. See, that was the fear. I thought if I didn't get that house, I would, you know, it just wouldn't work out. And it happened. And once I let go of that, everything worked out. You know, and I talked to my sponsee about that a lot, you know. Once I surrender, man, shit starts to work out for me, right? A little surrender and some acceptance goes a long ways. Right? Yeah. You think? And so that's what happened at 13 years clean. I bought a home and the relationship I have with Caitlin, my wife today, was getting better, you know, and I continued to go to meetings. I continued to work on myself. And I continued to come over here to Kings Tulare area and hang out with you guys. And you guys just kept telling me to, you know, keep coming back, you know. And together we went to horseshoe tournaments, man. Together we went to dinners and lunches and had breakfast and hung out, you know. That's what I found over here in Kings Tulare. You know, again, my life changed. You know. And so through that process, Caitlin and I were getting a little bit serious in our relationship, you know, and everything was going right. And we started talking about the future. And we talked about the home that I bought and how that could be our future, you know. We have become a point in time where I sell this home and we'll get married and buy one together. And so we started making these plans. And so after the Monday night meeting, one Monday night, right there in that room, we're having a meeting. I drive her to that same... This was like 5 years later. 6 years later. We've been going out for that long. I drive her to that spot, man, and I take her down and I sit her down on that bench and I ask her to marry me. And she said yes. So, right on. Awesome. Step one. And so we made plans for the future, you know. And I continue to, you know, we continue to go to meetings and be of service and recovery in Narcotics Anonymous whenever possible, you know. And I continued to work on that house that I had, that I bought. And I ended up remodeling the whole thing. And when we got ready to sell it, you know, I bought it when the buying was good and I sold it when the selling was really good. I made a substantial amount of money on that. And that gave us the opportunity to come over here and buy a home here in Visalia. You know, a lot changed that year for me. A lot changed. At 16 years clean, my whole life changed again. Fuck, my zip code changed, right? Right? That was big for me, man. And so I sold the house and I moved in with Caitlin and her kids, you know, and over the years I've got to know her kids really well. And so we had a date to get married, and we did, you know. I never thought that would happen for me again. I never thought that I would ever find love like that and get married again, ever. You know, that was the fear. But it happened, you know, and we went over to the coast and we got married on the beach surrounded by our kids, you know, and we came back and had a reception a week later. And, you know, we didn't go on a big honeymoon, you know, we bought a home together and we worked on it and fixed it up, you know, we got a really good deal on it. And man, I want to sit here and I want to tell you that we rode off into the sunset and lived happily ever after. You know, I want to tell you that storybook ending, but I can't. I can't tell you that. See, this is the hard part. 17 years clean, you know. I'm that guy that lives in that house on that street, right? This is like a nice house. We buy it together, you know, and everything is great. Life is going along great, you know, and we move in. And it was a beautiful Saturday morning, July 29th. I was upstairs. It's a two-bedroom home. I was upstairs and I was sitting there watching, I don't know, sports, right? And my wife was downstairs. She was having some kind of jewelry party or candle party or some shit like that. There were some women down there, and it was a beautiful Saturday morning, and I get this phone call, you know, and I look, and it said, Arizona, and my first ex-wife lived in Arizona with my biological son, Sean, from my first marriage. And so I hit the button, and it goes to voicemail, and then it rings again, and I do the same. And then it rang a third time, and I thought, what the, you know? And so I answered the phone, and that was the call, man. That's the call that every parent dreads. That's the one I got that beautiful Saturday morning on July 29th. And she told me that our son had died. And I just kind of went into shock, right? And like I said, my wife was having a little party downstairs or whatever it was going on down there. And I didn't want to bother her, right? So I talked to my ex for a while. Then I hung up the phone and I just sat there and cried. I just sat there in shock for probably an hour and a half, staring at the window, staring at the ceiling. I didn't know what to do, man. So after about an hour and a half, my wife walks through the door and I burst into tears and I told her what had happened, you know. She knew what to do, thank God. I'd still be sitting there. She called someone from the fellowship, and about an hour later there was someone at my house. And we all know him. He's from here. He's hunting for elk right now. But anyways, he came over and he sat with me. He sat with me. He cried with me. He talked to me. He talked me off that ledge that day, that morning. Because that was the one, man. That was the one. Just didn't know what was going to happen after that, right? Because that was one of the things that, you know, the death of a loved one that would take me back out. I always thought, you know. But Narcotics Anonymous stepped up, man. They were in my house. He was in my house within an hour. And he stayed with me and he said, I have a previous engagement I've got to go take care of. What are you going to do? And I told him, he suggested I go to a meeting of Narcotics Anonymous. And that's what I did. I went to my home group that I have here in Visalia. And I went to that meeting. I didn't have to say anything. I just walked in. They knew something was wrong, you know. And again, Narcotics Anonymous stepped up, man. I was surrounded by the men of this fellowship. You guys let me cry on your shoulder. You held my hand. And you told me I wouldn't have to do this alone. That's Narcotics Anonymous, man. And I want to make it perfectly clear right now. I'm tearing up and I'm getting overwhelmed, but it's not because the death of my son. It's the gratitude I have for Narcotics Anonymous and the people in it. You see, the guidance of a sponsor, the freedom from the steps, I've been able to navigate my way through the 12 steps and the principles that stand behind them. I'm able to talk to you guys about this today. Without breaking down. Because see, you guys have seen all that. I went to meetings and I told you what was going on in my life. I cried and I asked why. Why me? Why here? Why now? You know, you guys seen that in the meetings, man. I mean, just break down in tears and just cry about it. And I know there's some people here today that are going through the same thing. You know, and I want to sit here and I want to tell you that it's going to get better. It might not get any easier for a while, but it's going to get better. You'll be able to walk through it. And I want you to see that. 2.5 years later, after the passing of my son, I'm able to sit here, stand here, and talk to you guys without breaking down. about it. And that's a direct result of Narcotics Anonymous, man. You know what I'm saying? The direct result of Narcotics Anonymous is I didn't have to use over this, right? And also, I didn't have to punch anybody in the fucking face. Right? I didn't have to hate those kids, leave my wife, sell that house, crash my truck, or quit my job. See, that's all the other crap that can happen. See, drugs are only a symptom of my disease. There's a lot of other stuff that goes in behind that. You see, Narcotics Anonymous, man. It's you guys sitting in this room right now that saved my life again. You know, it's because of you guys. I didn't have to use over that. I get to walk through it. You know, I'm so grateful for that. You know, and most of you guys are sitting in this room today. You know, and through this process in the last couple of years, I've been going to meetings on a regular basis. I've been texting, talking to my sponsor every once in a while. And, you know, and I've been of service to Narcotics Anonymous whenever possible. You know, I keep taking the suggestions. I keep doing the things that we do here to stay clean one day at a time. You know, I have sponsees that I've worked the 12 steps with. I have a sponsor that I've completed the 12 steps with. And the direct result is I haven't had to get loaded over any of this stuff. The good times, the bad times. I made more money in 1 year than I ever thought possible. I didn't have to get loaded over that. I had to fuck with the IRS about it. I talked to them about it. I almost moved to Alaska, but I didn't have to use over it. Right? Drugs are just a symptom. You know? I lost a child. I didn't have to use over that. Because of you guys. Because of Narcotics Anonymous. You know, and I'm out of time. I had all this cool shit that I wanted to say, and I don't think I said any of it. I'm not sure if I did or not, you know, and all I really wanted today was to carry a clear message of Narcotics Anonymous, you know, and I hope my higher power let me do that. And I hope your higher power allows you to hear it. Right? You know. Because here in Narcotics Anonymous, man, it's my job just to carry the message of hope and the promise of freedom. And with that, I'll take another 24. Thanks for listening.